we are continuing to get more details about that horrific Air India crash last week.
Yeah, in fact, we now have news that both of the black boxes have been recovered. That's very good news. And the investigation is going to start compiling some critical data quickly. Now, the cockpit voice recorder, which was just recently obtained, is going to reveal the alarms that were sounding on the flight deck, as well as the pilot conversation as they work to solve the problem at hand. And they already had the flight data recorder, and that's going to give us, or give the investigators, that team, the ability to see if there was any mistake that was made by the crew, or if the pilots were fighting against some sort of a serious malfunction that would have resulted in an incredibly rare dual engine failure. Again, absent a bird strike or any fuel contamination, the fact that we saw that maximum loss of thrust and that low rate of climb, which was about half the normal rate, Tony, suggests the crew could have been fighting some sort of an unprecedented mechanical situation that, given their low altitude, they really had no hope of winning. And some of the more recent images seem to suggest that they deployed that RAM air turbine. We call it the RAT. It's a small turbine engine or propeller, if you will, that you can drop if you lose hydraulic pressure, and it provides electrical power for the flight deck to use some of the controls on the flight deck. Now, if they did have that RAT deployed, what's going to happen is that would explain why the landing gear was still down. And that was the big issue when that first happened, was why in the world was the landing gear still down? It could have been that the crew was unable to retract it because they had some sort of a hydraulic problem that caused the engines to stop working, because that's an engine assist component that you retract the engines with. So a lot of questions, but as soon as we start getting some information, it's really going to shed some light on things. And I think maybe within the next week or so, we'll get a preliminary sort of a report from the investigative team, even though this investigation is going to take 8 or 12 months. But the fact that we have 1,200 or less than that of these 787s that are used by 79 airlines around the world, if there is some sort of a mechanical concern, we need to find out as quickly as we can what it is so that we can make sure that we check all the other 787s to make sure that we don't have an issue. But again, this plane's been around for, 14, 15 years, and we've not seen this type of situation ever. So, again, just a lot of questions.
That's what I was going to ask. Have there been any reports of this kind of problem, hydraulic problem that you were mentioning with this craft before in other planes?
No, we had not. Now, when they were first introduced, we started having some lithium battery fires on board the aircraft, several of them, and that had to be addressed over a few years. But other than that, that's been it. Now, of course, we have a lot of whistleblowers that over the years have been talking about some Boeing shortcuts and things of this nature that, you know, could cause this or could cause that. And, of course, there's no way to immediately point fingers at Boeing, nor is there any reason to immediately point fingers at the crew. We don't know any of the specifics yet. And the worst thing that we can do is try to offer speculation. And, again, on a lot of the national shows last week, Tony, I was, you know, pinned down, Jay, what do you think? And, again, you can give what you think may be going on, but it's not until we get some of that information from the black boxes that's going to really begin to tell the story as far as the sequence of events. But I'm very confident that the team that's there, assisted by the NTSB from Washington, is going to do a very good job of being very thorough so we find out exactly what happened on this flight.
Well, Jay, I understand we had some more security problems involving passengers in Seattle that impacted several flights.
Idiot. We had an idiot situation. If you have an idiot alarm, this would be the time to sound it.
Those would be going off a lot. Yeah.
I'm telling you, it would be, especially around my place with all these aviation issues. But Alaska Airlines has got a flight taxiing for departure, and you've got some passenger that made some passing remark about a bomb. Well, yet he said, oh, no, I'm just joking. Sorry, that word comes out of your mouth. There's protocol they have to follow. So they take the aircraft to a remote part of the airfield. You close two of the three runways. You have two flights that divert to other airports. You've got a number of flights that are delayed for a period of time until it's determined, yes, this is in fact a false alarm, all because of one person opening their mouth. Now, they will be fined by the FAA. They'll be banned from flying Alaska Airlines for life. But unfortunately, we don't have something in place that would prevent that individual from flying other airlines. So now he can just trot right down the counter from Alaska, fly Delta, United, American, any of the other carriers he wants. I wish there was a way that when somebody impacts this kind of situation, that there were maybe a three-year, you know, you don't fly for 3 years. Some sort of damage beyond a fine, because I want some consequences. When you impact that many flights and that number of passengers, there's got to be something more than what's done. But sadly, airlines haven't taken that step.
You would think there could be a national database that would aid in something like that.
Well, there is for terrorists. And the thought is, this guy isn't a terrorist. I agree with that. And airlines have always pushed back saying, well, the cost associated with doing that, blah, blah, blah. But look, when you've got somebody that, not in this case, but assaults a passenger or assaults a flight attendant, physically endangering them, why we let them fly on other airlines, I don't know. They're only banned from the airline that they acted up on, which means, hey, congratulations, you have 10 opportunities to act like an absolute ass and not be, you know, not be able to fly anymore. It's just, I don't want anything where you're banned for life, because somebody might, you know, it could be a change in medication. There's all kinds of things that many times can lead to people acting the way they do. But, Tony, the bottom line is that it's just, when you have somebody that does this, that impacts so many flights, I just wish we had more consequences to it.
And I think you used the right term earlier, too, an idiot. By the way, Jay, any hub delays we need to be aware of this morning?
You know, last week we had issues everywhere with regards to what was going on from coast to coast. But some of that looks to be a little bit better, and I'm kind of trying to look ahead for the week for those that are going to be flying. And it looks like we've got, I want to say, a decent week of travel ahead. We might have some issues in Minneapolis this morning. Other than that, even though we do have quite a bit of rain across the country, I think most of the delays are going to be minimal, other than maybe Minneapolis. And I'm hoping that means we're in store for a good week of travel. So let's hope that that's the case, because last week, that was not the case.
Well, we'll certainly hope that's the case this week, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.